Welcome to Security Guy Radio with Chuck Harold. Got a really good show today about defensive and protection driving. We got a new format here. We're just jumping right in to say hi to our guest, Mr. Jerry Hain. How you doing, Jerry? Welcome to the show.
Very good, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Now, you contacted me, I don't know, it's been about 2 or 3 months ago, and I started looking at your company, EPI, Executive Protection Institute. And I just love your graphics. I love the way that it looks. I like the presentation. It's very professional. It makes me want to join the school. But I'm too old, and I already broke my leg last month, so I'm not going to do that. But I was fascinated by the fact that I recall that most of my training for vehicles was learning how to drive defensively, which was great. And then when I got into security, I would just hire a cop and stick him in a car to drive one of my high-end executive or celebrity clients. And we didn't really give them the EP protection other than defensive driving. And what I was impressed by looking at your institute was how you merged serious, real executive protection with driving. And I just thought that was something different I haven't seen too much. So tell us about yourself. Tell us, you know, how you got in this business and how you came up with this concept of merging executive protection with driving.
Yes, thank you. Back in the late 70s and preparing for your show, I realized I've been doing this for about 40 years. I went from construction management into security management. So I was working on an estate that had a high threat principal, very large security team, and I provided support service. And I took a real interest in the what I believe was two separate disciplines, the protection discipline and the driving discipline. So I became a student of both. At some point, a spot opened up on the detail, and they asked me to take care of one of the family members, and I became a protection driver. So I did protection work and driving. So I really started studying both disciplines. And over the years, I went through EPI, and then I went through a lot of different driving schools, became a certified driving instructor. And then in 2009, I actually was able to purchase EPI from Doc Kobetz. And I really studied again, and I felt that driving is one discipline and protection is another discipline. And some of the driving gurus said, you can't drive and protect. And even some of the older icons of protection also felt that, you know, either you protect or you drive. And you should have a solo driver who just drives and then a protector. And ideally, I would agree with that. But in the real world, what we find so often is a protection driver, someone hired to provide protection and driving. And again, I looked at, you know, I felt there was a divide between the two disciplines. And I had worked with a couple of different driving schools, and they certainly know their driving. And what they really focused on, for the most part, was the hard skills, the evasive skills. But the protection driver really has to do a combination of protection, driving. We call it concierge driving. It's you're a jack of all trades all at the same time. And then also a lot of the evasive skills you hope you never have to use. You certainly become a better driver through that. And quite honestly, this was last year, I felt, you know, who better than EPI to create a EP behind the wheel? That's a term I coined a number of years ago to define what we do as protection driving. Now we do also have drivers and protectors. My company, the parent company of EPI's International Protection Group. It's a company I found in 1989, and we provide protection for celebrities, for royalty, for high net worth individuals and families. And then also corporate, you know, CEOs like that. In some cases, we do have protectors and drivers, but more often than not, we have a protection driver. So I got together with several of our instructors, and one of our instructors, Janine Paul, is a former Secret Service Academy instructor. She went originally from the uniform division into the academy. Phenomenal driver. And then my program manager is a retired NYPD who has done protection work and has been doing driving instructor for a long time. And we really looked at the protection field and also the driving aspects, and we came up with our program. We have three aspects of it. One is called the pilot's approach, and we take a look at what pilots do. Like, do pilots fly differently than when they're by themselves or when they're flying a client?
Very interesting.
And I'll tell you a short story. One of my clients bought a jet, and the first time I went out to the jet, it was snowing sideways. I mean, it was coming. It was heavy. And I asked the pilot, I said, is it safe to fly? And he looked at me, and then he pointed to his ass, and he said, Jerry, if it ain't safe, it don't go up, you know? And I thought, how often do we as protection drivers driving our clients drive under adverse conditions? And it almost always are the people that hire us ask us to go fast. They're always in a hurry. We often are fatigued. And that's another aspect, too, of the professional driver is to, you know, really consider and the pilot's approach. Pilots have a certain time frame that they can fly, you know, like a 14-hour window, which includes 2 hours of prep, 11 hours of flying, and 1 hour of shutdown time. And also pilots, before they fly, they do a walk around the plane, and they check all the major components. You know, so often drivers, we get in the car and we drive. And it's really critical for us to make sure, is the car in good operating condition? Is it, you know, are the tires properly inflated? Even though now we have gauges that tell us all that, it's important to, you know, to walk around. And they'll also consider our capabilities, our own safety. Unfortunately, there was a well-known singer who went to some island for a photo shoot, and it got time to leave, and they overloaded the plane, and the pilot argued with them, but finally gave in to peer pressure, and everyone perished, including the 300-pound bodyguard. How important was it for him to be on that plane?
Right.
And why did the pilot give in to peer pressure to allow himself to fly under adverse conditions or knowing that there was greater risk? So as a, you know, part of the pilot's approach for drivers is to really weigh out what is safe, what are the conditions, you know, and also our own capability. Are we fatigued? You know, are we allowing the client to push us to go faster and faster and stay up longer? So we really need to make sure we slow down and, you know, be safer. You know, and then, you know, through our driver training program, we designed it that we use time-proven training methods where we can measure a student's ability behind the wheel. And then also what we discovered is that, you know, going through a lot of different schools, again, the focus is all on the hard skills. And what we felt was, you know, the driver also has to focus on soft skills. We do an exercise called client braking. Nice, smooth stops. You know, it for some executives, they know that they need security. They know that we're super galactic ninjas and can, you know, get them out of harm's way. But, you know, how well do we drive on a day-to-day basis through ordinary traffic? And again, part of our goal as a protection driver is avoidance, threat avoidance, accident avoidance, and, you know, to get them from point A to point B on a day-to-day manner, safely, smoothly, comfortably. And those, again, are the, some of the soft skills, you know, to, you know, take care of the client in a manner where they feel comfortable. We're, you know, professional driver. We should be driving smoothly. And, you know, they should be able to get in the car and then look up and, you know, when we tell them that they've arrived and not even realize, oh, wow, that was a smooth ride. You know, so we have to balance those skill sets, the soft skills and the hard skills.
Well, that soft skill's brilliant, because anybody that gets in a car with me knows I still drive like I'm going code 3 someplace. I just can't get out of the habit. I'm careful. I use my defensive driving skills that I learned years ago, and I get the physics of a car. But, you know, I'm not the smoothest of drivers, I must say. And I love this analogy to a pilot, because that's really what you are. You're piloting a car. And I think that's brilliant to instill that sense of urgency and importance in a person driving a car, because that is exactly what you're doing. It's really good. Now, I have a couple of videos of your organization. I think these first two are narrated, so I'm going to try and push the button. I don't have my engineer today. Let's push them and see if we can get it to work. I just like your whole presentation. I like the package. I like the way it looks. It's kind of movie-like, but I want people to see it so they can see if they agree with that, okay? So let's play a video here, and we'll be back in a minute.
At EPI, we teach practical exercises that replicate real-world scenarios.
A countermeasure reduces the risk to the client. One of the drills we do is cover and evacuate. It's designed to reduce the risk to the client by reducing his vulnerability.
One of the sessions that we teach here is called choreography. For me personally, I want to be slightly to the rear and slightly to the right.
And it's a way to be able to walk with your principal, getting through doorways, on and off elevators, using escalators, to do it smoothly so you're not awkward and calling attention to yourself and the principal, but you're still in a position to be able to protect them if you have to.
If there is a threat, move your principal from the threat, not the threat from your principal.
The drills we do not only allow the trainee to learn the maneuver itself, they also allow the trainee to learn their own capabilities.
At EPI, we teach students how to escort principals in and out of vehicles. The vulnerability is highest because we have less control over the environment.
A couple of words you need to be very familiar with. You need to be proactive and you need to be forward thinking. Because when it's over just like that. What you have in this car, there's a number of bags. They're white bags that are about a 5x5 in dimension with a big black X written across it. Take your knowledge, skills, and abilities that you learned with Gene a while ago and methodically go through this car.
Cues are positive control, space, grip. Positive control, space, grip.
We'll leave EPI knowing how to prevent and handle accidents, medical emergencies, and deliberate attacks.
All right. Excellent. Very nice.
Those videos showcase our 7-day, 100-plus hour executive protection training program. It's our what we call our diamond course. It's really what EPI is known for. We provide a theory, and then we do tabletop exercises. Then we do practical exercises like some of the video showed. And then we actually go out and do a mock detail, put it all together. One of EPI's, what we're really known for is really the art of avoidance. To avoid trouble through advanced preparation and planning.
Right.
So we do have to face the possibility that, you know, there may be an assault or we have to cover and evacuate. There are some that say if you have to use force or you have to use your firearm, you failed. And I argue vigorously with that because we're not the minority report where we can we can figure out pre-crime. We're not at that stage yet. Now, you know, maybe with some technological advances, we'll get to where we can actually calculate pre-crime. But there's always that possibility you come around a corner and a robbery's in action and you're right in the middle of it. Even the best planning, you can't predict 100%. And so all of our courses focus on the art of avoidance. Even our protection driving program is, you know, how to avoid having to use the skills that we learn, the evasive skills, getting out of a kill zone. And sometimes the difference between avoiding an ambush or a soccer mom who pulled out in front of you are almost identical. If somebody overshoots a stop sign and ends up right in front of you, you have to take an evasive maneuver, you know. And so we're trying to minimize that happening, minimize, you know, an accident or an attack, you know, through our training. So we have our 7-day program. We do May and October. So next Sunday night will be class 80. Class 1 was in 1978, and we're getting ready to do our class 80. So we're very proud of our program. We believe that it's, you know, well designed and you know, looks at all the different aspects of providing protection. And what one thing that we're really known for at EPI too is the emphasis on facilitating the needs of the client. We're not just hired guns or hired muscle. We need to show our worth. We need to, you know, bring more to the table than just being there in case they need us. You know what I mean?
So I had a client back in the day, famous music celebrity, and the music celebrity had a wife, also famous, and we provided executive protection at the house, which was really, I mean, more like, you know, an off-duty guy standing there. We didn't go to EPI school like we should have and all that kind of thing. But one thing that this client made my off-duty officer do was clean up the mess of her 12 little dogs in the garage, okay? And if I said no to that, there goes my $100,000 contract, right? So I hear you on that part. I mean, you want to make the client happy, but where do you draw the line? Do you have anything in your contract that says, you know what, I'm the pilot, I'm in charge of your safety, we're going to do it this way when the shit hits the fan, and if we don't, we're not doing it anymore. I've tried to get contracts like that, Evan. I've not been successful with that theory. But this is serious stuff. I mean, if you're... We used to also drive around another client's child, a very high-profile entertainment executive. And, boy, that child was so demanding, you know, 14-year-old know-it-all. Go here, do this, go here. Well, your dad doesn't want us to take you down to the place in Venice where we buy drugs. I don't care what my dad says. You're going to do it or I'm going to get you fired. I mean, these are some real challenges in executive protection driving. How do you deal with that kind of stuff?
Well, that's a good question. Honestly, very often when a client interviews us, we need to interview the client.
Right.
There's a department store out on the East Coast. I'm not sure if they're out on the West Coast, called Sims, and their tagline is, an educated consumer is our best customer. So part of our dilemma, and it's one reason that EPI, when it was founded, created the term personal protection specialist. To distinguish between the untrained bodyguard versus the trained personal protection specialist. So what we've tried to do over the years at EPI is to elevate our profession to just that. We're professionals, and you know, there are some clients can be demanding. You know, I get a phone call from one of my guys, and you know, out on a detail, and he says, Jerry, they're smoking weed in the car, or they want me to go to Harlem so they can buy weed. And I say, give them the phone. Let me talk to them, and say, you can't do that. We'll get you back to the hotel. We'll end the detail, but we will not endanger ourselves. I will not allow my officers. We all heard the story of Justin Bieber smoking weed in his private plane where the pilots had to put oxygen on. I mean,
right.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you not realize that you're putting yourself at danger? And so my policy is I won't tolerate that. You know, we'll protect people, and we'll let them know you can do whatever you want in your hotel room. Just don't do it in front of my officers, because many are off-duty police officers, or, you can't endanger them, their lives. You can't put their careers at risk. So personally, I won't tolerate that. Now, and you mentioned kids. Interesting enough, sometimes we call kids Barney details, and there are some professionals that say they won't do it. They just won't work kidney details. I did very well with children, and to tell you the truth, I disciplined them. And many times they say, I'm going to tell Dad. And I'm like, go ahead.
Right.
And they would tell Dad, and Dad would ask me, and I'd explain to him very professionally what the circumstances were, why I disciplined. I never lost a detail for them. And you know what? The kids, honestly, over time, they love me, and because they want that discipline. They're pushing the envelope. They want their parents.